Hello and welcome to LedgerCast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard here with a good friend of mine, Crypto Messiah. Hey, Messi. He's not going to say hello. That's okay.
Hey. What's up?
Just hanging out, man. We'll get to that in just a second. First off,
you're a bit quiet on my end.
Yeah. Let me tell you about token sets. Go to ledgerstatus.com/sets. And it's asset management for a DeFi world. Bring crypto strategies to life on Ethereum, Polygon, maybe AVAX soon, maybe. With their leading portfolio management tools, they got all the stuff at the Index Co-op as well that they work with, whether that's the BED Index, the DPI, and lots of other stuff that you can do with them. Thanks to our friends at TokenSets for being our partners. Let's bring Messi on. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Today's all about aping AVAX. That's kind of the title of the show. The sucker's been on a run. For people who don't know what it is, it's a layer one chain, but it's EVM compatible. And somewhere back here when it started mooning, they fixed their bridge to where it became very easy to move money over there. And they started a AVAX rush thing that's going to be going on for quite some time, where they're essentially putting a whole bunch of money into incentivizing using their ecosystem. So we're going to dig into it more. Messi, did I miss anything big in terms of primary layer one information about like what AVAX is?
I don't think he did. You know, and basically what's going on right now is just it's shitcoin casino. You know, there's a ton of inflow. There's not that many things to buy. Like, we honestly just started seeing like some fun stuff today. And that's the sign, you know, for me that the rotation game is beginning, you know, right now, which is really, really interesting. You know, and of course, there's some projects that you have to look at as flips, right? You know, you want to get that 2x, 3x into the momentum. It's a very rare environment where you can crank out multiples on a short time frame like that and rotate and compound. And then there's going to be other things too that are more like hold, you know, wait for the real retail mania to hit this. But one of the really interesting things
let's go to the AVAX side generally before we get into
just,
all the
yeah, like, different just as stuff. just as a generalization here, you know, the thing that I'm hearing from everyone is the bridge is fantastic. It's very easy to get over. It's liquid on the other side. It takes maybe 12, 15 minutes and you're in the game. And when you get over there, it's the exact same experience you had on Ethereum. You know, it's Ethereum virtual machine. You know, they're calling it C-chain. And one of the more interesting things about AVAX though, relative to like Binance Smart Chain, relative to Matic, not only does it have higher throughput, you know, we saw scaling issues with both Matic and Binance Smart Chain, but it's also decentralized.
How different is the transaction speed and stuff between AVAX versus Matic versus BSC?
I think they're very similar. I don't think a human could discern the difference.
Okay, so AVAX could get busy in the same way, is what you're saying, right?
Well, no, it couldn't. The thing is about AVAX is, you know, it can basically handle the same throughput as Solana.
It's
dumb scalable. You know, which is that's, you know, as juxtaposed to Binance Smart Chain or Matic. You know, when shit got really crazy, like, you know, like they kind of hit a wall. And you know, I feel like when the chain hits a wall like that, it really, really stifles momentum. You know, but we have an opportunity here for some extreme growth because not only the inflows that are coming in, but the scalability is going to allow this ape stuff to go on for a while.
Gotcha. Yeah. So this Solana is 65,000, ETH is 15, Binance Smart Chain's 100. So Binance Smart Chain's low multiple beyond Ethereum. So it got clogged up quite a bit. I don't see on this chart I'm on like what AVAX's is or what Polygon.
I think somebody in chat's like AVAX is not quick, not compared to Solana, no way. You know, I think theoretical throughput, you know, Solana is higher than AVAX. But in terms of, you know, throughput right now, based on the current infrastructure, you know, I believe they're about the same.
Yeah, this says aviation.net says 4,500 transactions per second for AVAX.
That's so double the throughput of Visa, by the way.
Yeah, and compared to BSC's 100, it's going to take a lot more activity to clog AVAX than BSC, and it's more decentralized. So BSC runs off this kind of 20-node system, and a lot of those nodes people say were controlled by people close to Binance. So that was one of the reasons, in my opinion, to be a little more concerned about the BSC ecosystem. So when I think about AVAX, it's EVM compatible. So porting all these Ethereum dApps and getting the developers working on AVAX is as simple as it is on Ethereum.
Don't get me wrong. I love Solana, you know, but Solana is like a longer tail play.
When you have
a new, you know, EVM compatible platform open up, it benefits from all of the development work and activities over the last, you know, 2-3 years for Ethereum. All that work's already been done. It's battle tested. We're ready to go. All you have to do is, you know, clone it and move it over. You know, with Solana, it requires a lot more build out, you know, a lot more thought. So everything is expected to happen very rapidly over here. You know, we are already seeing these degen yield farms today. You know, we're seeing incredible Ponzus, and, you know, I'm having a fucking, or dang it.
It's okay. They're not over the speakers now.
I'm having a fucking blast right now. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, so Polygon also says it's 65,000 transactions per second, which is Solana-esque, but that did not hold true when they actually were put to test. So that'll be interesting too, is to see like what actually happens in real life. Hey, Messi, can you stop and restart your video? It's freezing out on me. Freaking Zoom. I hate Zoom.
Really?
Yeah, it's been doing that a lot. I might switch you over to Google Meet. But anyway, you're better now. So people are excited about AVAX. And another comparison that I want to make, and this is essentially just getting the audience to where I, what convinced me to finally come over. One is the price action and the, you know, the inflows of money. But on the pure tech side, another element was the, what was I just saying? Dude, I'm so tired.
Yeah, same, dude.
The relative to like other layer twos, like ZK Snarks and Optimism and Arbitrum, the different solutions for ETH layer two, they're really trying to roll those out slowly. So like there's caps on how much money you can pull over or how much liquidity there is on layer two. So even if in the long, long term, like stuff on that level of layer two is going to adopt the full security model of Ethereum, getting liquidity in those ecosystems is a lot harder. So it leaves a lot of time for AVAX as not with better security than Polygon or BSC, which are more side chains, and better compatibility than Ethereum layer two on optimistic rollups or something. And also more functionality, because some of those have limited EVM functionality, right? As a combination, it makes it pretty compelling as a place to go for cheaper transactions, more throughput, better speed, and without sacrificing a ton of security.
Well, the thing is that, you know, like we're at a phase in the market cycle to where, you know, people haven't been able to do like really good DeFi in a while. You know, the apes are hungry. People have been flipping JPEGs and of course made absolute fortunes on that. You know, but the thing is right now is they just needed a place to go that's easy to get to, that's fast, that's cheap, you know, that we can do degen DeFi. You know, a lot of people, including myself, really love the DeFi side of things.
There was a lot of stuff that you got priced out of, right? Like when fees on Ethereum are so expensive, you can't do auto compounding, as an example.
No.
So like all these layer twos and side chains and stuff, they all have these auto compounding strategies where you're rolling your rewards back into the LP. And so that it makes your APY significantly better over the course of a year. And then like just making a single transaction or even a send is like 10-15 bucks on Ethereum layer one. So there has to be a layer two experience, because otherwise you just price people out. So,
well, something I've been thinking of, and you know, like, of course, I think that several layer ones, you know, are going to have their place, you know, especially when layer zero solutions come out, and we kind of have this future to where all of these different layer ones are just kind of interconnected and seamless, and the interface to all of those, maybe you don't even know really what chain you're using. But for the time being, you know, when we're talking about scaling Ethereum, you know, true layer two on Ethereum, you know, the benefits from Ethereum security model, there's fragmentation of liquidity issues, which really, really affects composability. You know, not only do you have liquidity fragmented, you know, across these different layer twos, you know, you also have liquidity fragmentation between the layer two and Ethereum itself. Whereas, you know, if you come over to a place like Avalanche, for example, and you have somewhere that is EVM compatible, that is decentralized, that is scalable, you know, you have the situation where you have infinite composability on layer one, and everything can just kind of plug and play and work with each other. So there's a lot of opportunity for growth here. And I think beyond just this shitcoin casino phase, you know, Ethereum DeFi is not dead. You know, the real question is, where does Ethereum DeFi end up? And, you know, I think the correct answer to that is a lot of places. You know, and I think this is going to be one of the places that a lot of that happens.
I think the most bullish component of this for Ethereum is that people obviously want to deploy apps on EVM, right? Like, that's the lowest barrier to entry. It's where the most developers exist. So, like, that's all bullish for Ethereum. Plus, Ethereum layer one, it's not like it's not being used. You know, like, OpenSea burned 2,000 ETH in the last 24 hours.
That is just insane, dude.
Yeah. 115,000 ETH have been burned since it went into effect, like, what, 2 weeks ago? I think this is, let's see, 24 hours is, yeah, 10,000-11,000 ETH in 24 hours.
You know, I keep thinking about, like, this burn. And, you know, when you actually quantify the amount of Ethereum that's being burned on a monthly basis, you know, and you assume that miners are for-profit entities, you know, this is Ethereum that would have been hitting the market. I really, really do think that, you know, just in terms of price appreciation, you know, what could be coming for Ethereum may be unprecedented. You know, Ethereum is, it's a new playing field, you know, and I think that what comes next may surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, like, when you are supporting all these ecosystems are being supported where they're based on Ethereum level applications, it's not going to be bearish for Ethereum. Like, all of that brain power comes from the Ethereum ecosystem, and I think all this ends up being very bullish for Ethereum overall. So this isn't like Ethereum FUDding or anything like that. I just think that Ethereum is kind of the point of what makes all this possible. Before we dig into, like, all the basic stuff on what's going on in AVAX, and we'll kind of walk people through how to do it and participate. I've been looking at markets a bit recently. We should do something along those lines. Ethereum's basically been consolidating for 2 weeks, three almost. So it's just kind of fighting this level. There's a Fib extension, if you want to be really basic about it, just a 0.618 from top to bottom to where it is now. And now it's having a really tight consolidation underneath that, which makes me think we're probably on our way to new all-time highs in Ethereum, because I feel like this is what we're facing now is temporary. So I'm trying to be pretty straightforward with this, essentially.
You know, and Ledger, interestingly enough, Ethereum remains broken out versus BTC.
Yeah, it still looks really great versus Bitcoin. And then you look at Bitcoin, and it's basically doing the same thing, consolidating under the prior, you know, breakdown area, above its 200-day moving average, above kind of all the important levels that mattered to me. So, like, I'm not bearish on Bitcoin, I'm not bearish on Ethereum, but I do think that Ethereum relative to Bitcoin still looks quite good. Like, it's just in this long-term uptrend. And what we're seeing is while in a bull market, altcoins tend to outperform. Like if you go look at, you know, we've already shown the AVAX chart, but like if you go look at like Solana, it's going nuts. Other layer ones, in addition to Ethereum, are doing really, really well. I mean, Solana, good Lord. 80. I mean, remember when it was like the unlock drama at $1 and it's at 85 now? It's just insane.
Oh my God, guys, there's a big unlock coming. You know, Solana's going to dump. Look, I'll tell you one thing. If you're big, big dick money, okay, and all of your coins are locked up, do you really think that you would, you know, let's say you're the invisible hand in the market. Do you really think you're going to pump this shit if you're not able to sell? Why would the market go up when you're unable to be, you know, exiting? It makes no sense. This is absolutely a bullish unlock. It's going to go nuts.
Yeah. So what do you say to this? Like, there's nothing to say. Just ride the train, enjoy it.
No, my God, man. Solana's just been up only. And the thing about Solana is, you know, you've got very, very, very deep liquidity, you know, backing this, this network, you know, which is, I think one of the reasons why these, you know, the SAM ecosystem has become so popular is because, you know, that you're not just betting on Solana. You know, you're betting on Sam, and Sam just keeps fucking winning. He just can't not win. It's literally impossible.
Yeah, he's not somebody I would want to bet against. One thing I will bring up is DeFi relative to Ethereum. You talked about how Ethereum's so hard to do DeFi on right now, because if you're spending $500 to go interact with a lending contract, you have to be putting in a whole lot of money in order to do that. So I think some of this DeFi stagnation that we've seen is purely because it's just pricing out newer participants. Yep. And driving them to places like Solana or Avalanche and those where they can participate.
You know, one of the really interesting things about these, you know, other ecosystems, and we saw this with Binance Smart Chain and PancakeSwap, is that when you have a really, really high throughput and cheap transactions, the fee generation of some of these AMMs can be absolutely absurd. If you look at all of the metrics for PancakeSwap and you try to value it relative to other things, you know, there's a reason why PancakeSwap is a $4 billion market cap, you know, because the fact is that just the amount of volume that they're processing, you know, the amount of fees that are being collected, it's impossible to even do on Uniswap, on Sushi, on Ethereum. It just is.
Yeah. My hope is that as these platforms kind of bring themselves to these other places, like part of this Avalanche Rush thing is getting Curve and Sushi and Aave to get over to Avalanche and become multi-chain and give liquidity rewards to people participating on that network. And I think that that'll essentially flow into all these systems so that you'll be able to use Aave on whatever chain you're on, and you'll be able to bridge seamlessly with some of the technology that's coming out to any of these chains. And that'll be really important for the what we would call like Ethereum blue chip DeFi, in my opinion, to thrive and essentially to flip this chart better. Like, I'm not bearish on this. It looks like maybe it's bottoming, but it's just a slower mover than some of the other stuff in the market when you look at it.
I'll tell you one thing, and you know, I think you came to the same conclusion around the same time I did. I had to sell a lot of my Ethereum DeFi, and it's not because I don't like the coins. You know, I do, obviously. I bought them for a reason. You know, I had to sell because of the opportunity cost of holding Ethereum DeFi relative to, you know, holding AVAX DeFi, was astronomical to be exposed to Ethereum and to be sitting there waiting for the pump. I think it's just a fool's game, to be honest.
Yeah. So versus the dollar looks pretty good. There's nothing that worries me about it. It's just on a relative basis. Yeah. I don't know that it's the trade right now when the other stuff is still moving.
Look, faster. Yeah, it looks good, but is it going 500% in a week? Fuck no.
Yeah. So, like, and meanwhile, this looks like it's ready for price exploration. Because Apex hit in February when all of DeFi pumped. I remember February 9th, 10th, 11th very well, because that's when my net worth peaked as well. So like it topped at the same time, consolidated, broke down, and now it's looking like it wants to go make price discovery based on that. And none of the DeFi stuff is really doing that. Like if you look at Aave, for example, it's still got a ways. Like it looks fine. But
that looks great.
For Aave to get price discovery, it's got to go above 550, 600. And that's pretty similar across the board. So if you see something in an ecosystem where the layer one, the baseline thing, is in price discovery or entering it, that's where your momentum clearly is. And that brings us to how to actually accomplish some of this stuff. So if you wanted to do this, and you could do it and hold all your stuff you had before, but you might be able to earn yield on your Aave and some of these other things, because you can basically wrap anything and send it over to Avalanche, and there's a lot of yield to be earned as they pump $180 million of rewards into this ecosystem. So it's what, bridge.avax.network. You can just bridge wrapped Ethereum over and then start converting it or do whatever you want with it. This marker.io site is kind of the, portfolio hub for what's going on over there. And when you're on here, this is going to show you why this has moved so much in the last 10 days. So, on August 17th, there was $250 million of liquidity on this ecosystem. And today there's $2.7 billion. So there's been a 10x, in liquidity in 10 days, and most of that just in the past 7 or so.
This is actually the fastest ecosystem growth in history for Binance. When Binance Smart Chain, Solana, Matic, it doesn't matter what. And the most insane thing to me is that the incentives haven't really even started yet. So
I would imagine people are priming it essentially before all those incentives.
I mean, look, we're front running, and it does look like I may be frozen again.
You are. You just got to do it every now and then. You just got to undo the video.
I'll keep my eyes on that. Yeah. I would imagine 1 month from now, at the most, okay, we'll be over 10 billion in TVL in this ecosystem.
Yeah. What did Polygon get to? Like 8.5 billion at the peak?
Something like that. Binance was what?
A lot.
15, 16 billion, something like that.
So, and then if
20
we
get, billion?
If we get, if we dig into what else makes this interesting, it's that currently, while it's still relatively early, and don't get me wrong, some of this stuff has gone up a ton. I'm not telling somebody when and where to buy. I'd look for dips, basically. Like I bought one of the blue chip AVAX coins on a 30 or 40% dip, and it went up 100% over the next 24 hours. You know, like, so that's what you're looking for. You're not necessarily trying to buy a top, but you're wanting to go capture those dips as more money flows in. And I say that because I think, I don't know what the volume distribution is, but I think probably 80% of the volume is on like 8 coins currently. So there's kind of these blue chips of that ecosystem. And what I'm going to do is trying not to dox anything and open up the tokens page, where I'll just show the ones that I've been looking at. So, you know, there's we'll do a roundup of what's what. Pangolin and Joe are kind of the two biggest DEXs, and Pangolin is kind of like the Uniswap. It was the first, but it's actually been losing a lot of volume and TVL to Joe. Trader Joe is, or JOE token is the token of like the SushiSwap equivalent. Binky QI is a Aave, or I think it's a Compound fork, but it's like Aave or Compound, so lending and borrowing. Yak is kind of like Wi-Fi plus 1 inch. It's where you go to like seek for yield, and you can do swaps on it and multi-routing versus multiple decks on Yield Yak. And then the Snowball and Penguin ones, those are auto compounders, right, Missy?
Yes, Snowball and Penguin are auto compounders. You know, there's actually a difference between the two. I'll do this as shortly as possible. So they both have auto compounding farms, you know, which is great. But the secret sauce of Penguin Finance is that it has a launch pad as well. Now there's also Avalanche, of course, but you know, as I put it in one of my streams a couple of days ago, you know, I think Avalanche is going to be for like the more official, you know, more serious kind of IDOs. Maybe you have to KYC with it, where PeeFi is more like the degen ICOs. So PeeFi has additional value there just because you have to actually stake that PeeFi token to get access, and there's tiers of access. And I think that's just going to be free money. People are just dying to ape in things right now. If I have access to that, especially if I have top tier access to that, I'm going to be able to get into these IDOs early, and those will all be just very, very easy flips.
So now, I'm not Snowball, for what it's worth, I'm not participating in any of that stuff. I'm just rotating between these coins based on the charts. So like, this is the way I'm playing it. There's lots of volume. There's lots of giant volatility moves. So again,
There's literally hundreds of what we both have friends right now that are, you know, degen farming like 20,000% APY farms. Like, that's not necessarily my thing either. You know, maybe if there was an auto compounder, but you know, I think there's a lot of velocity here, and if you just compound and trade the charts, like, you'll probably walk away, you know, like a king, and probably with lower rug risk too. One interesting thing about Snowball, I think it's a great project, okay? But the way Snowball is trying to differentiate themselves is they have a stable swap product.
So like Curve.
Yeah, Curve-ish. That's my ish. You know, my main concern with Snowball is that, you know, we're going to get in a situation to where Curve comes, and like, how do you even compete with that?
It's, yeah, like Curve's technology is beastly.
Yeah, their technology is off the chain.
I'm just showing the watch list, essentially, that I look at these charts and I look for low time frame setups because I'm playing a rotation game between these. But I don't know if these are 6 month holds, 1 month holds, year long holds. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm just trying to explain this ecosystem because people get mad, messy, if you're like saying, oh, I'm aping Avalanche stuff. And then they're like, well, why don't you tell me? And then when you tell them, then they're like, well, why are you, you know, shilling all this BS garbage tokens? And I'm like, dude, you can't have it both ways. So I'm just telling you what I'm participating in.
Yeah, people were mad I shilled a dog coin, and, you know, then it went like 20X. So, you know, I stay mad all you want, bro. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, I think all of these are the ones that I would say are clones plus adaptations of stuff that was initially built on Ethereum. And they've kind of carved
out Binance Smart Chain.
And Binance Smart Chain. And they've kind of carved out a niche within Avalanche. And these are the ones I would call like Avalanche native. There's also some that they were BSC projects, and they're now like both or something. And I've mostly stayed away from those. Like, there's some of those have performed really well, but these are the ones that I would say are kind of like Avalanche centric, Avalanche native, and I'm willing to trade, and I'm willing to like sleep in these, which I can't say about many things.
I think Avalanche native is pretty important here. You know, of course, when there's a wave of money hitting something and there's this much hype, there's going to be a lot of opportunistic projects, you know, that are Matic projects, that are BSC projects, that want to capitalize on this opportunity over here. But the issue is these projects already have like people that are like bag holders, right? You know, people that that have been in pain, like people that want to sell, people that want to get out. So my primary focus is absolutely on Avalanche exclusives. You know, I think those are going to outperform by miles.
Yeah. So that's why I bring these up. People can go do their own research. They can figure out what they like and what they don't like. I've been using a combination. This marker site is markr.io. It's pretty good for tracking the current prices in an accurate way because it pulls it off the DEXs where you're actually trading them. Whereas like CoinGecko pricing and Zapper pricing have been pretty delayed from what I could tell. But if you're looking for information about these, you can just do like you always do and, you know, go on CoinGecko and search for it, you know, and find out like, is this market cap appropriate for what I want? Is the distribution appropriate for what I want? Go look at the team, go look at the contract, go look at all the things you normally would do. But I'm trading these personally. So, do you want to dig into some of the charts and talk about how obscene they are one way or the other or what?
I mean, the charts are obscene. You know, of course I'm more wanting to discuss like thesis, you know, rather than.
So like, here's Joe, for instance. So I don't hold this because this is a parabolic advance that is like, it looks like it wants to blow the lid off of it. And I'm not buying that right now, but there's other stuff that doesn't look like this. So what I did is I was in this somewhere down here in the 30, 40 cent range, played it for a while, bought, and then I bought a dip at $1 and sold it at $2, you know? So like I'm playing these as swings. I'm not trying to be a genius. So if you look at the charts, it's one thing. If you just want to like set it and forget it, you could do some yield farming. You could do a lot of other things, but you know, there is some variety in these charts. So the way I look at it is I want to analyze the charts and find where is a potential breakout and do it like I would do anything else, except for in this ecosystem, you have 100% intraday volatility that is very tradable. So, all right. What do you want to talk about in terms of the thesis that you brought up?
Okay. So basically, you know, the thesis here, or, you know, my main thesis, and of course I'm playing, I've got some DeFi bags too, that I see as more like growth opportunities in the ecosystem. That includes, Joe, that also includes, Yield Yak. As the ecosystem grows, both of those projects will catch massive tailwinds, massive.
And that's TVL basically increase. Because there'll be TVL, and then therefore they'll earn fees and all
TVL,
that.
TVL, users, fees, volume, the whole nine yards. You know, I think those are my like longer term holds in this ecosystem. PFI for me, one of my favorite projects, is more of like a medium term hold for this ecosystem, just because I think PFI performs very well during mania. Because people are going to have this PFI, and they're going to have it staked to participate in IDOs.
So let's answer a question that we got. The BitBaron says, I don't get why everyone's so excited over it. There's like seven other chains doing the same thing. And the answer is purely in the flow of money. You know, Dan from CMS Holdings talks about the flaming fireball of money, or the giant fireball of money. And if you follow that, you can get caught up in it as that fireball expands, and you can't onboard, what did we say? 2.5 billion in 10 days, and not the hot ball of money. Thank you, NBK. You can't not get sucked up into that. So like these are the result of that hot ball of money coming in. And therefore I want to hop on that hot ball of money and roll with it. As it grows. So yeah, that's why. And like when you look at other chains, the trend is not the same. The flow of money is not the same, and the future flow of money is not the same. So when you have momentum markets, I don't care if it's AMC in legacy markets, or Tesla, or Amazon. Like it can be small, it can be big. When that momentum kicks in, it can go more extreme than you think. So that's why we're paying attention. That's why we're, talking about it today, because I don't think this trade's over. Like my personal trading, I'm in on these things right now. Like I'm not on the sideline. I'm not in dollars. I am in. So I'm shilling my bags, but I'm shilling bags that I'm still in. I'm not trying to dump on anybody or whatever else. Eventually we may dump on you because we'll get out before some people. Somebody's going to end up holding a bag, but I think it's got some time.
Well, let me just clarify. We're never dumping on you. We're dumping on the AML. We're dumping on the liquidity providers, and they profit off of volatility, so that's a good thing.
You say so just a pump and dump. No, it's not just a pump and dump, unless you call all markets a pump and dump. Do you call anything that goes up a pump and dump? No. It's just a momentum market, so...
Cycles, you know, we're in a momentum market right now, and it's going to continue to be that way for who knows how long, and eventually we won't be. But you know what? We have $180 million in DeFi incentives coming online, this month that really hasn't even started yet. There's massive inflows to come. There's great bridges from Binance Smart Chain and Matic that are in development, and apes have already been trained to use this ecosystem and to ape. And they want in on this action. I think that we're going to see massive inflows from Binance Smart Chain. We're going to see massive inflows from Matic. Of course, we're seeing massive inflows from the Ethereum ecosystem right now. And there's just not that many projects right now. You know, there's a lot of momentum in this market, and I don't foresee the momentum ceasing for at least another couple of weeks minimum. I mean, that's bare. Avi and Curb are going to be here probably for like 3 weeks. You know, like, guys, the party's not even close to over yet. You got to be careful. You know, choose what you're going into. Don't get rugged. You know, there's a massive opportunity cost to getting rugged because you're trying to get rich today, this early in the game. You know, you need to play your cards right. And you know, over the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, however long it lasts, that's going to put yourself in the best position for success.
Yeah. Who was it? Somebody beta. Bad beta. Not big beta. Bad beta asked, where do you actually trade this? So you bridged through the Avalanche network bridge is the easiest way to do that. And then the two primary DEXs are Pangolin and Joe, which I mentioned. So here's a summary of kind of the Joe markets. Obviously, the large ones are between the majors, as you might expect. But you see the top market here is $52 million in 24-hour volume. And the top 10 are basically $1 million plus in volume. And that's just on Joe, which is the second largest DEX. Because if I go to Pangolin, which is PNG, is the token for this one. I don't know where the DEX is for it, but anyway, it's even higher. Here we go, the exchange itself. So the Pangolin, well, let me click on it. CoinGecko, thank you. Yeah, so also has, you know, 52 or so million dollars on its top pair. But this one goes all the way down to number 13, and it's still above $1 million on those pairs. So that's a lot of volume for DEXs. So we're looking at $200 million 24-hour trading volume on this DEX. And on the Joe DEX, $154 million 24-hour trading volume. So when you have $350 million between the two top DEXs, that's worth paying attention to. So those are the places you can trade it. I'm doing most of my trading on Yak because similar to like 1inch or Matcha, this will route through both of those DEXs. So if you're playing the rotation game and you're going from Penguin Finance to Snowball or whatever, like, you don't have to know where's the liquidity for this particular pair. It'll do it through whichever one's best. It's not as good as Matcha, because Matcha will actually do partial orders for your total amongst the you know, total prevention of slippage and everything.
That's split order routing.
Yeah, split.
The way to put it.
Yeah, this does not do split order routing, but it will do
cross exchange
routing. So you get pretty good pricing on a Yield Yak. And then the other thing in Yield Yak is, like, if you want to see, oh, I can earn, I don't know, 1,000% APY or something on some ridiculous LP position, you can do that directly through Yield Yak and auto compound it and all that stuff in Yield Yak. So those are the ones I like. I don't think any of these are going to be like where you're going to get rugged in these baseline tokens either. They've been around before this money came in. They'll be around when the hot
money. These are like long-term incumbent projects that love AVAX, love the ecosystem. You know, they saw the vision before anybody else, and they decided to come here and build, you know, and to put their flag down. And, you know, I've spoken a lot with the Yak development team, and I'm very impressed with them. They're very friendly. They're very smart. They're very responsive. So, you know,
and we both own Yak right now.
So. Significant Yak. Look, I'm very full of Yak. I am shilling my bags, but I will say this, you know, there's a reason why I think Yak is now my largest position. So,
yeah. And the reason for that is because when you actually start using this stuff, you do it for a day, you realize, like, oh, this is the side I always end up on and do things on. So, like, that becomes worthwhile. And what they do is they don't really have inflation from their token. All their tokens are already out there in the world. What they do is if you stake it, you earn fees, a small percentage, but you earn fees in AVAX itself. So your fee generation is a completely different token based on the usage of the site, which is interesting.
Somebody's in the chat bitching, you know, that I dumped P&G after I said that was my biggest bag. And the reason that I changed my stance on that was because Joe flipped P&G's TVL and the charts started looking like shit. So, you know, one way that if you want to survive here, you need to be flexible. You know, this ecosystem, this environment, this climate is changing very rapidly. And if you get stuck in a thesis and you're unable to recognize that you were wrong about something, because if I had taken that same size and I would have just put it in a Joe instead of P&G, like I'd probably be fucking retired right now. You know, like it's that much of a difference. I think that Joe just kind of emerged as the clear winner. And, you know, I had to flip my stance on that. You know, I was wrong. It happens, guys.
At the end of the day, we're trying to stack something else, right? Like we're trading these because we want more. Maybe if you're bullish AVAX relative to ETH, maybe you want more AVAX. If you're bullish ETH relative to Bitcoin, maybe you want more ETH. If you're bullish Bitcoin relative to the dollar, maybe you want more Bitcoin. If you're a dollar maxi at the end of the day, you just want more dollars. So you make the trades that are going to increase the denominator that you care most about.
I mean, the main thesis on P&G anyway was that it was extremely liquid and that if it does multiples, then I'll be able to compound and get out. But, you know, when I realized that Joe was the winner, all of a sudden P&G had an associated opportunity cost. And I have no doubt that P&G will perform, that P&G will do multiples. You know, they're very close with Avalabs. I think it's very obvious, but at the same time, if P&G is going to be a laggard and everything else is going batshit crazy, you know, it doesn't matter that it's going to do multiples or whatever. I mean, there's huge opportunity costs to not, you know, having that much capital deployed and not having the ability to actually compound, you know, while everything is running.
Yeah. So we got asked about Avalanche's token itself. You know, I mentioned already that it's like on the way to price discovery at this very moment. Its current market cap is 8.7 billion and its fully diluted market cap is 36 billion. If we were to go look at that relative to like total market cap rank, you know, Cardano's market cap is 92 billion. So does it have room to go?
Avalanche has a long way to go.
Yeah. So it could 10x and still not hit. Not hit the Cardano market cap.
How wild is that, dude? Like,
yeah. Binance BNB is 76 billion.
You know what's really interesting about, I mean, Avalanche and or the actual AVAX token, you know, in relation to something like BNB is that, you know, what happened that hadn't happened before, you know, with Binance Smart Chain that enabled BNB to run so damn hard. And that was an unprecedented lockup and usage and utility for the BNB token. You know, and if you look at all of these Avalanche DEXs, guess what the native liquidity pairing is? It's versus the AVAX token. So I do think that the market is lagging the actual supply shock that's going on right now. And I think that'll become very apparent very soon. Personally, I'm thinking somewhere between $150 and $200. And that's conservative IMO for the AVAX token. Because, you know, as opposed to Matic even, AVAX was so slept. It was between $150 and $200. And that's my conservative.
So like 3 to 4x would put it at a roughly $24 to $30 billion current market cap, which would be smaller than Doge.
Yeah, that's bigger, the conservative.
Bigger than Polkadot, smaller than Doge. It would put it top 10. That's essentially a trip to the top 10.
I mean, you guys just need to understand that, you know, with Matic, like people knew something was coming. Like we already had some price. Of course, you know, it went crazy. You know, when we were having Matic season. But I think AVAX was very slept on until like very recently. You know, people hadn't used it yet. People weren't really even looking at it yet. And now we have literally every single person in a crypto has at least heard about it, has their eyes on it, or are reading about it, you know, now on a daily basis. So I think
shout out to your fellow hero collaborator RT. He first told me about Avalanche and he was like, dude, some pretty big people are in this, it looks legit, like, and it's nobody's paying attention. And what did I do? I completely ignored him.
RT is probably one of the best technical analysts in this space.
Dude, he told me about that before it hit that, well before it hit that high in February. Like it was early January.
He has a system that he follows, you know, no divergence from the rules. I don't like rules, so I'm terrible with systems. You know, I'm more of a thesis guy. But he's fantastic. If you guys don't follow him, you should check him out on Twitter. I retweeted his video from earlier today where he does a lot of TA and stuff on this Avalanche stuff. If you're interested in that kind of thing at all.
Somebody asked, how would $150 AVAX compare to Solana? It would, a 3X in AVAX from here would be an equivalent market cap to Solana. Yep. So, and I think honestly, based on usage and hype and everything else, that's believable.
Well, what's the TVL in the Solana ecosystem? I know we can see that somewhere. I can't remember where. Damn, you know, maybe somebody in chat will know.
Yeah, somebody in chat's always smarter than me. So yeah,
they're always on the game. And, you know, but I, the last time I looked, the total TVL in the Solana. Oh yeah, it's DeFi Llama, DeFi Llama.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, Rizzo Bitcoin with the save. Thank you, brother. Much appreciated.
TVL rankings.
Because this is interesting, you know, when you look at these two ecosystems, you know, a comparative basis, you know, what could be?
Yep. So this is total value locked. Okay, so let's go.
Avalanche. Yeah, we're gonna want to look at. No. You're gonna want to go over to the left, and you're gonna want to click on chains.
Yeah. Well, this will do it when I do it. You can see the trend within that chain. See, that's like the total is 2.16 billion on Avalanche right now. And then on Solana, it's 2.77.
We're about to flip Solana TVL.
Yeah. So it's about to flip Solana TVL, but it's 1/3 Solana market cap.
Yeah.
So I have a hard time convincing myself because I've already made good money in this ecosystem. So I'm like, does this have room left?
Fuck yeah, dude.
So like, I have to start looking at some of these things. Cool site, DeFi Llama, shout out. Gonna have to build some of this for Flipmetrics.
Yeah, it's just badass, huh?
Yeah. Okay, so here's protocol TVL across the board. Binance still has 19.2 billion in TVL, Terra 6.3 billion, Polygon 5 billion, Solana 2.7, Avalanche 2.1. Where is ADA TVL? It's funny. Yeah.
You know, one interesting thing I'm seeing here is it appears that Solana TVL is growing right now, which, you know, I would expect it continues to do so. Like I said,
yeah, Solana's great, man. Solana's been awesome. A fantastic momentum trade, right?
Oh yeah.
Like, so that's
are we seeing outflows from the Polygon ecosystem?
Yeah, it looks like it. 7-day change, -5%. So, and I think
that's very interesting.
I think that's. You get a very similar stuff from the Avalanche ecosystem that you get from Polygon, but you get a better security model and less downtime. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting.
And a better bridge.
And a better bridge.
It's all about the bridge. Look, you know, and people always ask, you know, why are you so fucking excited about this? You know, and what I always say is, have you tried it? You know, it's most people that love DeFi, you know, that love EVM like me. When you try the bridge and you come over to Solana, or not Solana, to Avalanche, man, I'm so tired. When you try the bridge and you come over to Avalanche, it just clicks, you know, and that's why initially, like, I decided to be very high conviction about this because knew that I had had that experience before other people did. And I knew that the second that they had that experience, they're going to be like, holy shit, I got to bridge more. Anybody that's bridged over, ask them how many times they bridged after that initial bridge.
Yeah.
You first bridge a little bit over. You're just testing the waters. Is this for me?
I need the bridge.
And then the next bridge is the big fucking ape bridge. And then you start like looking for crumbs like Michael Saylor, like here and there. Like maybe I can sell this NFT to get a little bit more to bridge. Maybe I can do this to get a little bit more to bridge. I think I bridged 4 or 5 times now. And honestly, I'm like looking for scraps. You know, for how to bridge more. It's just that kind of situation.
I found a Twitter account called Bridge Or. Here we go. I
can pull Bridge Or.
So this is the Bridge Or.
Oh fuck, you're gonna make me bridge.
Dude, you gotta unfreeze your video again. So okay. Seriously, I was trolling about where is ADA, but they're not even on this website. Like something called Harmony.
They don't have any TVL, bro.
Something called Harmony Token has more TVL than Solana, and or not Solana, than ADA. And that's supposed to be a smart contract platform. They don't even have smart contracts. So when people say, how far can something go? It can go very far. It can do ADA yeah. type things. And the momentum on this one is just massive, like the 218% in a week. So if it sees another doubling, it's going to go in the top three or four TVL, flip Polygon's TVL. So
I'm 100% with Curve and Aave on the way that we will see Avalanche in that number three slot sooner than you think.
Yeah. So what I like about this right now is that there's just not very many tokens on the platform. So if you bridge all this money over there and you go into AVAX or wrapped ETH or stable coins, it just takes like a sprinkle, right? Just a sprinkle of those funds into the altcoins, the whatever, the blue chip DeFi stuff down the line, and they just go ballistic. So I haven't been this excited about a opportunity as a trader since last summer, which was the most important like 2 months of my life in terms
Same
of
here.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
So I know this feels like a shill podcast for the Avalanche ecosystem, and you can consider it such. And I said from the very first moment I did it, like I started tweeting about I was doing it, and I felt late. Like you were asking me to do it 2 or 3 days before. And had I done it, I would have made like 2 or 3 higher multiples.
I literally had to like bully and like publicly humiliate Ledger like over and over and over again. But the thing was I shilling him this? Yes. But you know, I think one thing that Ledger and I both share in common, I'm not getting fucking paid to shill anything. I shill things that I like get really hype and excited about. And as a friend, I was just like, bro, like you got to bridge, bro.
And
like,
to be fair, this was no different than I was trying to get you to stop being freaking bearish Ethereum at the bottom.
You did.
I begged you. I begged and pleaded.
I'm
and you're like,
stubborn son of a bitch. And you didn't try. You're a stubborn son of a bitch too. Let's be honest. But here's the thing. You didn't try hard enough. I come from.
Are you kidding me?
Literal. You didn't try fucking hard enough. I tried to like sell you, you know, on that Ethereum was going down or whatever. And you were just like, nope, you're wrong. And that was just like the end of it. I tried to get
you
to bridge.
I did not
just
say, I'm going to look up our DMs right this moment.
Okay, listen, I tried to get you to bridge and you were like, nope, I'm not going to do that. And then I tried to get you to bridge again. Dude, I must have hounded you.
You did.
Maybe 20 times. And then finally you were like, God damn it. Okay, fine. Just shut up. I'm coming. Like that's the level of like stubborn that I am. Like if you beat me to death, like for 2 days straight, like I'm eventually going to cave and just say, dude, just shut the fuck up. Okay.
I said, are you really short X dollars? He said, I'd be worried if it were BTC, but BTC stealing the show means ETH going to get drained. Me, I think you're insane. It's going further, as in going further up. You, it's a short squeeze. Bear is still on, like we saw in 2019. Me, and the move up can be much higher than you anticipate. Where do you change your mind? What's the stop? That's what I said, Messi. I can imagine cash. I cannot imagine short. So that's quotes from my DMs to my good friend. Trying to get you to close.
And that is the only conversation that happened. Literally, you just left it at that. You were just like, there's no saving this guy. You're not a true friend.
Oh, come
on. You're not a true friend.
What else do you want me to say?
You should have just beat me to death, man. What's wrong with you?
All right, some guy's trolling us, but what about the huge AVAX unlock in early September?
Huge Solana unlock at $1? Didn't we just talk about this?
Yeah, we did. What the fuck? So I just want to give them a shout out because they asked. Somebody just joined the chat. Have we looked at... No, I'm not looking at your coin. If anybody has real questions, we can answer them. But I think this is the basic of what I'm looking at. Can this end? Yes, it can end earlier than we anticipate. I do not think that it's over soon. I do think we'll see some massive dumps as people take profit and, you know, it goes down 40%, 50%. And what I want to be is a buyer. I want to position myself to be a buyer when those things happen. Do I think that it's going down like right this moment? No, I am positioned accordingly. I think AVAX looks really strong. So I think if AVAX is going up, some of this other stuff will go up as well. If it does dump, I want to try to be liquid enough to where I can prepare to buy those dumps, because I'm going to be playing this for several more weeks, I believe, before I bridge back, if you will. Although honestly, like, even if you don't even want exposure, you could maybe end it here with this type of comment. Like, even if you don't even care about exposure to the Avalanche ecosystem, the Avalanche coins, there's free yield over there. Like, you can bring wrapped Ethereum, wrapped Bitcoin, wrapped stable coins, and earn the yields on those are really, really high on some of these platforms, like 20, 30, 40%. And that's amazing for people that just like strictly want to farm and then dump on people like me and Messi, who are trying to play the, you know, the move up on these. So there's many different ways to participate in this. And no, bridging is not hard. Bridging is very easy. So anyway.
I gotta be honest. I'm not bridging back. Fuck Ethereum. You know, and the reason being is you, everything that I can do on Ethereum and the liquidity is improving here substantially, I can do on AVAX and I can do it better. And even if that means that, hey, I end up eventually rotating to stable coins and just being a stable coin farmer Messi, I've got auto compounders over here, you know, like, yeah. it's just easy. You know, why am I going to go back to Ethereum and farm, you know, on Curve or whatever, when I can literally have APY instead of APR? It makes no sense.
Somebody needs to get a clip of Messi saying, I'm never bridging back.
There is no return.
Yeah,
there is no bridge back.
This bridge is one way. Somebody asked, can you walk me through how to do it? No, just go to bridge.avax.network and like click the freaking buttons. I'd have to connect a MetaMask and show you, just do it. And it's easy. If you do it with wrapped Ethereum, that's going to be the easiest thing to do it with, because it's very liquid across the bridge, very easy, very liquid once you get across to do other things. And they send you a little bit of AVAX for gas, because AVAX is ETH in that ecosystem. So that's your gas. So you need to buy a little AVAX for your gas for future purchases, but that's literally it. Then you just go do stuff, play with it, participate. You know, I've been amazed over the past year now that there's so many people that have been in crypto for a long time, but they fail to like learn. Like, they still are not doing anything on chain. And
so stuck like, in
all
their
the
ways,
all
man.
The fun stuff is
it.
On all the fun stuff's on chain. So and yeah,
I 100% agree with that.
Maeve said you can bridge USDT also. You can. Yep. Like, I think the bridging for the kind of major coins has gotten pretty good. So whichever one. But when we were doing it past few days, it was wrapped ETH was always the easiest. And yeah, exchanges are not fun. Like, it's not. I don't want the majority of my money on exchanges. Or like I've talked about many times, I like the Horcrux method. You know, be on multiple hardware wallets, be on multiple exchanges. Don't die if one goes away. So
I'd like to discuss a bit of thesis here for a second. And this is going to be like a huge divergence from, you know, my normal way of thinking, my normal attitude. You know, I've been in this crypto game for a bit, and there's one thing that's certain about crypto, and that's that meme coins pump very hard. Okay, they always have, they always will. People like the memes. And you know, what I've actually been doing, you know, even in DeFi summer and all that, I've been like, oh, meme coins are dumb, productive assets, right? But the thing is every time I've had that attitude, what's happened? I've been outperformed significantly by left curvers. You've got dudes that put fucking, you know, $10,000 in a dog coin and now have more money than me after being here for years. Like, it's just lame. So the way I'm seeing this is that we're still at a point where we're front running the majority of new retail money inflows into the AVAX ecosystem. You know, we really haven't started seeing a lot of outflows yet from Matic, from Binance. And the reason being is the lack of quality bridges. Now, Seller Network, which is a very quality bridge, just went live a day or two ago. And there's a super high quality bridge, and that's the Synapse bridge by Nerve Finance, that's going to bridge Binance Smart Chain and Polygon here. These guys want to come in and get on the fresh action. And the first thing that they're going to do is look for the best meme coins to buy. Look for the best Ponzi's. They're not coming here to buy my productive assets, okay? They're coming here to play the Ponzi's, to do degen shit. I've actually, like I said, this is counter to my normal thinking. I've actually decided to go relatively heavy in a couple of meme coins with great Ponzi-nomics. And, you know, the two meme coins that I chose, are Shibex and Apex. And for their own reason, Shibex is a reflector token, if you guys are familiar with that. And everybody loves dog money.
This is not financial advice. I do not.
This is not financial advice. This is the thesis. This is not financial advice. I am front running literally tens of thousands of dumbasses that want to come buy dog money.
1944 says it's 10 IQs.
Yeah, literally. I'm front running tens of thousands of dumbasses that want to come buy dog money. And I think that that's a very plus EV move. Now, one thing that nobody's heard about, and that's ape money. Ape money is a totally new thing. And in juxtaposition to dog money, the difference between dog money and ape money, and I'm talking Apex, is that Apex started with fat liquidity. So the issue you have with a lot of these Ponzi's is that
I'm definitely ending the YouTube show before this.
Once people can come in with a relatively small amount of money and make money and then just say, hey, I'm out. And when they hit that sell button, it just nukes the chart, right? And then it's game over for everybody because it's just a cascade after that. But with ape money, we're talking fat liquidity, ape meme, which is hot as fuck, always has been, always will be, $20 million market cap, and $4 million of liquidity. So you can't have those weak-handed guys, those guys that do fuck up the charts, you can't have them come in and ruin it for you. So that's my thesis. And I 100% know in the back of my mind, and I'm glad I took this leap of faith, because I 100% know that the dumbasses are gonna come over, they're gonna buy the dog and the ape money. I got in the dog and the ape money before they did. My number is going to go up, and I would suspect that I will significantly outperform anything else that I'm holding just by being a meme coin guy. So look, I am the dog
right now.
I am the dog and the ape money man now. I are 10 IQ. I am returned to you. I are 10 IQ.
Okay, I'm glad you had your shill. We're
There you go. Not financial advice.
Very clear, you do not, in the long term, you do not want dog money. You do not want ape money.
Fuck
that
no.
That is not your
denominator.
You are doing it because you just want more of Ethereum or whatever it's going to be.
I'm doing it because I want more AVAX. And the thing is I know for a fact that I'm front running tens of thousands of dumbasses and that they will buy the dog money and they will buy the ape money. So this is, in my opinion, one of the most plus EV places to be. Can you imagine? Because I mean, I had a guy tell me earlier that he had a buddy of his that bought like $10,000 of SHIB on BSC and ended up with like $16 million. Like that's where the dumb money goes every fucking time. And the dumb money, they buy green candles. They don't buy the dips, they buy the rips. So it just goes fucking nuts. But anyway, I'm having a ton of fun.
I'm glad you're having fun. I'm extremely morally torn whether to rip this out of the main audio and video that goes on YouTube, because if you're right and this happens again and the freaking dog money becomes $1 billion coin.
Of course I'm right. What are you talking about? It happens every
time.
Number
one,
I'm right.
Number one, it just makes me sad for humanity. Oh my God. He's still going. Stop. All right, we're into the show.
That's that big ape energy, boys.
Thanks for being here. Go to ledgerstatus.com, catch this replay. You might not get all of it. Josh will be back in shame next week. You can follow Crypto Messiah on Twitter. We'll see you next time. That's the wrong freaking outro. This one. That was the up only outro. I'm shook. Goodbye. Thanks to Token Sets. LedgerStatus.com/sets.
Monuments crumble in the blink of an eye. The run dry in a house of cards. I feel the breeze wound so tight I can barely breathe.